Hey friends, there's nothing I love more than celebrating the successes of women, especially women business owners. So this month, welcome to Women of Means series, where you'll hear inspirational stories about women business leaders who, like many of you, are probably juggling business, life, and family, and you want to do it all without the hustle. And by the way, if you haven't listened to our first in the series, the previous episodes, head back to the earlier episode and listen to how Victoria Clooney has juggled being not only a mother, but a military officer, a real estate investor, a wife, a mother, and all of those things all together. So let's start today's episode.
Welcome to the Work Less, Profit More Business Podcast for business leaders who want to stop being the chief everything officer and build a self-running business engine that gives them true freedom. And yes, this isn't the voice you usually hear introducing and hosting this podcast. Today is something very different. Today, this episode is hosted by myself, Carl Richards, and my guest will be, you guessed it, Diana Lidstone. So if you don't know who I am, I'm the founder and CEO of Podcast Solutions Made Simple. My agency actually edits and produces this podcast. And as we celebrate International Women's Month with stories of successful business women who have overcome some unique challenges, there's no one better to share their story than my friend, Diana. So let's dive in. Diana, welcome to your own podcast. How does this feel?
It feels really weird. And you know what? I was nervous coming on my own podcast.
Well, it's funny. I mean, there's a standing joke or there's a standing question in the podcasting space. Maybe it's in the content creator space as well. And it goes something like this. Would you listen to and invest the time in or more your own podcast?
There you go.
And I know in business, you've actually talked about this, I think, with some of your clients and colleagues and stuff. We've known each other for, it's been almost 10 years. I can't believe it's almost been that long. I mean, I was the MC at your live events.
Yep.
I became a client.
Yep.
You became a client. Today, I've morphed into the podcast space and I run my podcast production company. It's been a phenomenal journey for the two of us.
It has been. And it's kind of, you know, like you chuckled about looking back and, you know, how far each of us have come in our businesses. So, you know, I'm thrilled actually to have you host this episode.
Don't be nervous, by the way.
Okay.
The questions will be gentle. I won't ask you anything hard hitting. And this is a great celebration. It really, really is. As we continue celebrating Women's Month, I know that a lot of people have difficulty sharing their wins or their successes. So how would you qualify something worth celebrating?
Well, it's funny that you say that because just last week I was sitting with a client and we were talking about how she wants to start every one of her team meetings with celebrating successes. And she said her team is 99.9% women. And she says they have trouble answering this every single week. And so we had a whole conversation around this. Why do women especially have a challenge celebrating a success or a win? And I think, you know, for a lot of, especially women, we're taught to be humble, not to rock the boat, don't be loud and boisterous, don't boast, all of those things. And so celebrating wins and successes can mean different things to different people. And, you know, for me, sometimes celebrating a win is just, you know, getting the laundry done.
You know? I celebrate that win too sometimes, getting the laundry in the house cleaning. And there's always something to do. And I think that one of the things that happens when you're a woman entrepreneur is you still bear a lot of the brunt, so to speak, of the household chores and things that are a part of that. Then whether we like it or not, that's the way it is. I'm not saying it's right, by the way. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And so women entrepreneurs often find themselves in this, you know, this as a juggler. And I know it very well, but it's not only the household, but it's the, because culturally, most of us have been taught, you know, keep your house looking nice, do the laundry, change the beds, you know, all that kind of thing, cook the meals. But then if you have children, a lot of women feel guilt that they aren't looking after their, or perhaps not spending as much time with their women. And then there's the whole generational thing if you happen to have older parents. And I remember a time when I had older parents and younger kids. And so as women, we are kind of sandwiched in there and we're trying to grow our businesses. So there's a lot of guilt. Sometimes there's a lot of shame because we doing it as well as we should, or we compare ourselves to all those people we see on social media and we go, yeah, not so much, not so much.
And since we're talking about women small business owners, are there other challenges that you think women entrepreneurs face differently than their male counterparts? Can you explain that in a bit more detail?
Yeah, I think, as I said, women in general typically bear the brunt of the responsibility of running the household and, you know, raising the children, you know, looking after the parents, you know, or somebody in the house or a relative that is, you know, maybe not well, driving parents to doctors, whatever it happens to be. And men, and I'm not saying this is, you know, standard, but men, generally, it's kind of, well, I'm going to go to my job, my J-O-B, and earn the money. But women are trying to do all this. Plus, you know, those of us who want a business and want to grow a business, where do we put our time? So, yeah.
So, Diana, what was your biggest challenge then? How did you overcome it? And, you know, why are we celebrating that?
So I'm going to share a story. It's my story. It's a very personal story, but I call it the phone call that changed everything. And it's really the origin story, if you will, of this whole work less, profit more idea that my business is built on. And some of the listeners may have heard this story. I've written about it in my book. You've probably heard, you know, parts of it, but I'll take people back to the year 2000. Now, some of you may go, oh my God, that was so long ago. Yes, it was. It was Y2K. It was the millennium. But really, for me, it was the year that changed everything. It was not perhaps one of the best years of my life. But at that time, I had a 14-year-old daughter, a 17-year-old son. Yes, you can imagine what it is like raising a 17-year-old son. A husband who traveled corporately for his job. And I was growing a retail business. We had survived the 5-year mark, but we were still growing. And I remember exactly the moment I was sitting in my office of this retail store and I had been answering the phone from suppliers and calling suppliers and, you know, calling clients about their special orders and clients calling me about their special orders. And then, you know, a knock on the office door because the employees had a question. And then suddenly the phone rings again. And this time it was my daughter's doctor. You see, my daughter, 14 years old, had been a very energetic, very smart teenager, but she was ill and no one could figure out what was wrong. She actually woke up one morning, and I remember this very vividly, complaining that she was exhausted and she was dizzy. And she said, well, Mom, I don't think I can go to school today. And I went, no problem. You know, you're the smart one in the family. You know, you can miss a day of school. But what I didn't realize was that that one day would turn into weeks, multiple days, multiple weeks, and even years that this very energetic, smart girl couldn't go to school. She was so tired and exhausted that she couldn't concentrate to read a paragraph. You know, she was depressed because she says, Mom, I'm never going to be able to play basketball or volleyball or soccer again. And it was so demoralizing, I guess is the best word, for everybody in the family. And this doctor was calling to let me know. He explained that my daughter had something called chronic fatigue syndrome, CFS. He said, well, it's not life-threatening, don't worry. But what I soon learned was that it was life-altering, not life-threatening, which meant, you know, because I asked him, I said, you know, well, what could he do for my daughter that she had chronic fatigue? And he said, absolutely nothing. And I went, you know, as a mother, I kind of, you know, I felt sucker punched.
That moment, you want to What can I do to help her? What's the cure or what's the control so she can lead somewhat of a normal life?
Yeah. And he said, there is no, there's nothing. There's nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And I said, well, you know, could she improve? And he goes, maybe, maybe not. And so, you know, if any of the listeners are mothers or parents with children, you can just imagine that at that moment, all the dreams and expectations, hopes, desires that I had for my daughter about going to university, about getting a job, a marriage, children, all of that like evaporated in a second. I just, you know, I put down the phone, you know, I was totally overwhelmed. I even today, I can hardly explain the depth of the confusion and overwhelm that I felt. And as I drove home from the store that evening, all of 12 minutes, all I wanted to do was to have the world stop, you know, have all those phone calls stop, have everything stop so that I could figure it out. Because I'm somebody who likes to figure things out. Like, there's got to be something that I can do for her. And so I ran away from home.
You what?
I ran away from home. I arrived at home after that 12-minute drive. And I said to my husband after dinner, I said, I'm running away from home, my business, everything for 3 days. And he goes, well, can I come with you? And I said, no. And I went to one of my favorite hotels, which you know, Chateau Montebello, rented the cheapest room there was there. It was the fall. And I spent 3 days crying, walking the woods, trying to figure out what I was going to do. And I sort of came to a couple of conclusions. Number one, things were going to have to change. Things at home were going to have to change. Things in my business were going to have to change because I was freaking determined that I was going to find something so that my daughter could live a more normal life. And in terms of my business, I realized that my business would have to stop depending on me for everything. So I would have to put some systems in place. I would have to train my employees better so that they could act independent of me instead of interrupting me all the time. And I'd have to take advantage of those team members, their zone of genius, because not everybody is, right, does the same thing. I was going to have to change my business so that it could basically run without me. And I was determined to find a solution to my daughter's chronic fatigue. And the good news was that I did, right? I found a solution and I was able to free up my time so I was able to support her. And just for those listeners to let you know, she has since gone on to do her master's degree, get married and become a mother. So that was, you know, my dreams were fulfilled. But restructuring my retail business, that was the beginning of what I now call Work Less, Profit More. That was the beginning of how do I get the freedom that I needed to support her? And it made me look at things in a totally different light. And that brings me joy when I can do that for other business owners. How can I free up their time and their life for them to do the things that will actually they love to do, whether it's looking after their family, whether it's more travel, whatever it happens to be. And that, for me, is a success. That for me, every time I can impact one business owner, whether they listen to the podcast, whether they read my blog, whether they take a course from me, anything. And when I see the smiles on their faces, when I see the profit increases, when I see the time freedom that they've developed, that makes me smile inside.
As it should. It's certainly, I mean, in that moment, though, when you were going through it, when you were realizing something had to change and you needed to put systems in place, I'm assuming that was not a feel-good place at that moment.
Oh, that was, you know, that whole time in our life. We look back at it now and we go, you know, it was, and I'll swear, it was the shits. It was the shits for everybody because I didn't have time to give to my son. I didn't have time to give to my husband. None of that. But when I look at how it was like a big slap in the face, a big wake-up call that needed to happen for me and how that has impacted other people. And I will also say on behalf of my daughter, she looks at life very differently than a lot of other 30-year-olds, okay? It has impacted her life so that for her, it's all about life comes before her work. So when she's going to look at a job or be interviewed for a job, she goes, well, she doesn't say, I don't care what you pay me, but it's not about the pay. It's about, is the job fulfilling and do I have enough time off to do the things that I love and that makes me happy?
In your experience with going through this personally, but then also this being the focus of your business now, that if you can have the impact and help just one person listening to your podcast or get that right person that's going to have a life-altering change, that's going to change the outcome.
The trajectory.
Of their life. Thank you. Their trajectory. That's a good word. I like that. Yeah. Thank you for wordsmithing for me. I appreciate it. That's why we work well together. We can finish each other's
sentences.
There you go. There you go. So, my question, though, is do you feel that sometimes a reset, or as you call it, a slap in the face, is something that every or a lot of entrepreneurs, especially women entrepreneurs, need to be able to soar?
I don't think they need it, but I think that's very often when they come to a major decision. It's like it's a wake-up call. Oh my God. And, you know, I can't tell you how many business owners, small business owners that I have met who have said they had burnout so bad that they were put in the hospital. That's a wake-up call.
Yeah.
How many business owners come to me and say, I'm on the verge of divorce. I'm in the middle of divorce. My marriage is falling apart. That's a wake-up call that something has to change. And then there's others who go, oh my God, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I can't sleep. And they develop some sort of health issues. That's the wake-up call. But the wake-up call, you know, the universe is going to hit you on the side of the head one way or the other.
One way or another, the universe will say, hey, you change something. And obviously, I'm not a female entrepreneur, but you've been very instrumental in not slapping me upside the head, but really showing me the tools, the processes, and helping me on that journey. So I minimize the burnout. I minimize the negative impact on family and things like that, because those things will pop up. I mean, I had that recently with my immediate family, an issue where I had to step away from my business for the better part of 2 weeks. And if it wasn't for your guidance and your direction, it would have been not impossible, but it possibly would have sent a different ripple. So, I mean, congratulations on your success. I know the story of your daughter. I've heard that story so many times, and I know there's more to the story. And I don't know if you've told that story on other episodes or not, or when it will possibly come up again, but I'm having so much fun learning and listening to not only the journey and your story again, and the story of your daughter, but also about the things that women entrepreneurs really should be, you know, taking to heart, especially as we celebrate this month. But time is almost up.
So yeah.
Do you want to make sure that we, you know, leave enough time to pass on some more nuggets? If there was one thing you'd like to share with your audience today, perhaps one thing that has led to your success, what would it be?
Well, I can never, you know, answer these things in one thing. That's me. I think one of the things, and I've alluded to this before, and it was something that, you know, is really difficult for passionate entrepreneurs and high achievers. But the thing is, it's life before business. And so you know that when we do, for instance, strategic planning, what is the first thing I say to everybody that you have to put on your calendar?
Your vacation.
He got the answer right.
See, I'm learning. I'm a good student. I might not be at the head of the class, but I always try and bring an apple, at least to put on the teacher's desk.
Yeah, it's life before business. And, you know, recently I had to reach out to somebody who booked a podcast recording with me. And I said, you know, I'm sorry, but my sister's coming into town. She never does this. You know, would you mind if we rescheduled? Life comes before business. It's not about your business running you. It's about your business contributing to the joy and the freedom that you want in your life. And I think that's a huge thing. The other thing I want to say is that for me, it's always about the what I call the KISS principle, K-I-S-S, SSS, three S's. So it's keep it simple, strategic, and sustainable. Because sometimes things, when we look at things, we're not keeping it simple. We're making it over complex. We're having too many offers. We're doing whatever. Strategic meaning there needs to be some planning, some, you know, what is the path that you want to reach? And then sustainable, can you keep it up in the long term? So those are the things that I would love to leave with the listeners today.
Diana just gave you a really good kiss. Keep it simple, strategic, and sustainable. And that's not to say there still isn't work to do.
Yeah.
As you walk through that acronym that Diana just gave you. But wow, what an amazing story, an amazing conversation, Diana. This has been so much fun. Thanks for being my guest today. Oh, no, sorry. Thanks for being the guest on your podcast today. And thank you for listening to the Work Less, Profit More Business Podcast for business owners who crave freedom by having a self-running business. Join us next week for another Women of Means series, stories of successful women business owners.
Hey friends, Diana here again. As I said, we are in March, and March is the end. It marks the end of the first 90 days of the year. And if you're someone who did some planning, maybe in January or at the end of December, you set some goals. My question is, where are you now with achieving those goals? You see, what I've come to learn is that traditional annual planning doesn't work. Why? Because we don't review the plan, we don't adjust the plan, and we don't tweak the action steps that we need to achieve those goals. Or maybe you're like some of the people I meet that don't have either a plan, they don't have goals, or they don't have action steps. So in order to have strategic planning, that's why I'd love to invite you to my quarterly Freedom Planning Day. This is coming up. It's something we're doing every quarter. So March 18th, which is a Monday, this is a day to invest in yourself and your business. And you can find out more at www.dianalidstone.com/shop/quarterly-retreat. Or email me at diana@dianalidstone.com for more information on how you can actually achieve your 2024 goals. See you next week.